Okay, the boys say today's daf is daf Kuf Yud Beis. We're up to six lines from the top of the Omid, and we're continuing to talk about the inyonim of mazikim and shindalids and ruchos rois. But the good news is that we're soon going to finish that sugya, as gishmak as it was, and we're going to continue mechem in further agadata, but leicht agadata, not dealing with these subjects. So we're starting the braisa tana. Oichlun u'mashkin tachas amita, afilu mechupin b'kli barzel, ruach ro'o shoyra alein. When you're talking about oichlun u'mashkin, if they happen to be situated underneath a person's bed, and therefore the person is sleeping above the oichlun u'mashkin, even if it's mechup b'kli barzel, even if they are covered, there's a machitz in between, made out of iron, nevertheless there's a ruach ro, which is shoyra alein. The Rishbam doesn't explain why, when, where, but if you notice before the word ruach, there's a small star or asterisk, which is the famous symbol of the Gilyon HaShas. The Gilyon HaShas of Kiva Aigah says, Ayin Teres Chaim in Shavuos. If you look up Teres Chaim Masechta Shavuos, he says the following very interesting svara. Back in Masechta's Brochos, the Gemara says that Shina is 1/60th of Misa. A person goes to sleep, he's, in a sense, as they say in English, he's dead to the world. It's 1/60th. Hopefully he wakes up in the morning. That's why we say, Moidani, Baruch Hashem, Rabbi Yishlam, you give me back my neshum. But the point is that Shina is a mashu, is a 60th of Misa. So Keteres Chaim, just like Chas V'Shalom, there's a mess. A mess is metame be'oyel. So the person who's Yoishin, he's also ashtikala metame be'oyel. 1/60th. Mamish tuma. That's the ruach ra that the Gemara is referring to as Yishta in Teres Chaim. Okay, so the Gemara writes, "Tana Rabban, leYishta Adam Mayim, leLeBeLeLe Reviyos, leLeLeLe Shabusos." A person should not drink water either on Tuesday evenings or Friday evenings. Shouldn't drink water. A person has to drink water. We'll see the Gemara in a moment what you should do, how you should do it. WhatsApp is Tuesday night and Leil Shabbos on Friday night. We'll see Mechim on the Omid Beis that those two nights there is a terrible mazik. It's actually a lady mazik, a Mrs. Mazik, called Ochra Igris Bas Mochlas. She's in charge of those two nights, and she brings all types of ruchos rois. And so therefore, you got to be very careful to team et azami malach on those two nights. So, now it says, on those two nights, don't drink water. Of course, you have to drink water. I mean, don't drink water. So the Rishbam makes it a little bit lighter. Rishbam says, b'loy ner. Don't drink water without a light, a candlelight, or electricity. Don't just drink without seeing what you're drinking, because chas shom, there could be a ruach ra on that water. Now the question is, and it says, b'mar b'mshas adam b'roishu. Chas shom, we did drink. Chas shom, there could be a sakana.
How would you recognize it if it was there? If the light were on, how would you see that a ruach ra is there?
How could you tell? You can't see him. I asked that question yesterday. If you don't see, you don't see.
Because the problem with all of us is you're always one or two steps ahead of us, sometimes days and weeks ahead of us. We struggle to try to catch up to you, Rabbi Kahn. You asked great yesterday, and what Barry's asking is beautiful today. The Gemara is not saying that if you had the ner, then you can go and see the ruach ra, and you don't have the ner, you don't see it. Pshat is, mazikim like to go and, you know, there's an expression in English, start up with someone of your own age. We had someone yesterday in the Gemara that if you, a person were to go and drink mayim she'ulim, it's a sakana, but the Gemara says only if it's from a cotton, not from a godel. Why from a cotton? Because the mazikim, they like to go and start up with youngsters, with cowards, with easy victims. When they see that things are starting to get difficult, they run away. They're not interested in putting up a fight. You know, they got better things to do. So the Gemara says in many other places, if you go two or three people together, you don't have to worry about a mazik. Why? You don't see the mazik. Because the mazik, one guy will start off with two or three. He's not, he doesn't want to fight. He doesn't want a scene. He doesn't want the FBI to come. He doesn't want to be involved, etc., etc.
Means it's contaminating.
Contaminated. So that's the point of it.
It's not something that you can touch.
Of course, it's spiritual. We're not talking about something physical.
But the Gemara talks about the these things, you understand, and we don't see anybody practicing, observing it in any way whatsoever.
You can't observe a Ruach Ra or Mazik.
We don't have a Zibuk, a Gilgal.
These are all things that are invisible. They're only visible to those that are high Madrega.
Anyway, we didn't be able to deal with this stuff.
Anyway, so getting back to Agamar. So the point is, if there is a Ner, then the Mazik stays away. He's not interested in being in the public limelight, so to speak. However, if it's dark and nobody sees anyway, then the Mazik can bring his Ruach Ra and cause all type of tsuris.
To check the water, actually. And then you have to check it before you drink it.
Okay. Ochkit. Anyway, the point is, it's a Sakana. Sutimara, what's the Sakana Ruach Ra? There's a Ruach Ra from the Mazikim, Toynish. Fedimar Vimtsachi Maitakante. What happens if you don't have a lit up place and you're thirsty and you want to drink? What should you do? Says the Gemara, Lemi should go and say Shiva Koilos Omar Duvid Al Hamoyim V'Hada Nishti. He should go and say the seven Koilos Duvid HaMelech said, and then he can drink. Shenemar, and this is of course the Mizmor LaDuvid that we say on Friday nights. Koilos Shem HaLamoyim Kela Kovid Hirem Hashem Al Mayim Rabim Koilos Shem Bakoyach Koilos Shem Behuda Koilos Shem Shevaruzim V'Yishaber Hashem Es Arzil Vunan Koilos Shem Choytiv LaHavaseish Koilos Shem Yuchal Midbar Yuchal Hashem Midbar Kudesh Koilos Shem Yechol Ayulos V'Yechsef Yurais V'Chulay Kilei Omer Kovid. If you add up all the koils that we just said, you have seven koilos altogether. When you say seven koilos ala moyim, truth of the matter is only the first one is koil Hashem ala moyim. The other six don't mention mayim. The Masha already points that out. But the Masha says that the Gemara holds.
It's gaitchen,
exactly. It's a fortune. It flows all the koilos ala moyim. And therefore, when you say these seven koilos, then the mazik had moyif in the ala koilos, and the mazik goes away. The Eloi, what happens if he doesn't know this nusach of the Mizmor LaDuvid? He doesn't have a siddur, he doesn't have a tillum with him, he doesn't have the Gemara Daf
HaYomi. He doesn't have a light, he can't read inside.
If he had a light, he wouldn't have to say this, and there wouldn't be a problem. So the Eloi, so what should he do instead? Is Leimahoch, he should say the following incantation, the following lachash. Lul, shofan, anigra, anirdefan, ben koich ve'yosivna, ben bli'i, shmeini, azilna. So vusmeitis. So the first few words are just words which have to do with these mazikim, lo shofan, anigran, a different. But, says Rishbam, on the Bein Beli, Shmini Azilna, says Rishbam, that if you look around, he says to the mazik, you find that there are some skinny people here, and there's some people who are stout. Why are you picking on me? If you want to go and start up with someone, you got another 100 people around there. Look at all these guys, the tall guys and the short guys and the fat guys and the skinny guys. Yeah, what's spadat sechmimi? So you look at the Rishbam about 8 lines in. They bli'u shmeini. Hinei svivoisai anoshim kechushim, people who are thin. Ushmeini, people that are a little bit less thin. Is Bachru kchulachan. Go and choose. You have so many people to choose from. And he lost the chup. What are you bothering me for? Anyway, that's the name, that's this lachash that you say against the Ruach Ra. The Eloi, what happens if he doesn't know this incantation? If there's somebody else within his sviva, within his dalramas, so to speak, Nisarei, who then, for instance, if that person is asleep, wake him up, v'lei malei, and he should go and say to that individual, Planya bar ploinista, in other words, ploini ben ploinis, tzachina maya, yankel ben Miriam, or whatever, tzachina maya, I happen to be thirsty. What's the benefit of waking somebody else up? He'll just get angry at you. What do you wake him up? But the point is that you want the mazik to know that you're not all by yourself. As soon as he hears that there are two people or three people, then the mazik says, Mustafach, let me go and find somebody else. I'm not going to chepel with this guy because you got two guys. Maybe he'll give me a punch in the nose. So he stays away. So you should go and wake somebody else up, and then the mazik will know there's somebody else. And then he could drink. What happens if there's nobody else? He's the only guy around. Then he should make a lot of noise. How does he make a lot of noise? Mekarkish nachtema achatzva. He takes the lid of a barrel and he bangs it against the barrel and it makes a lot of noise. And then the mazik can get dishrok and he might get scared. He's like, "Oh, what's all that noise? A commotion? Maybe the people coming? People are." Let me go somewhere else. And then he can drink. And if he doesn't have the top of the lid to the barrel, what should he do? Nishti ba midi vahad nishti. Let him throw in something into the water, and then he can go and drink. How does it help by throwing something into the water? Because the whole problem of drinking the water is that there's a ruach ra, which is shoyr alamayim. Presumably, when the mazik sees that you throw something in, again he sees, oh, they're starting up with me, they're shooting against me. He decides to move on to somebody else's water to cause trouble to somebody else. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. A person should not drink water from rivers and from agamim, other types of collection like lakes, otas like ponds, swamps, whatever. Wherever you have a collection of water, don't drink from them balayla at night. Sorry? And if he drank it, then again, this is talking about that the person not able to see what he's drinking because you never know what might be inside the water. Our Gemara, of course, is talking more on a spiritual, rochniistic level on Ruach Ra, but there are other Gemaras that say that you have to be careful when you are drinking, even during the day, from a lake or from a river to see what you're drinking, because otherwise you might drink what the Gemara calls an aluka. An aluka in English is called a leech or a bloodsucker, which could be chas v'shalom dangerous. So you got to watch what you're drinking. But here, balayla, besides that physical problem, you also have the problem of the sakana of the ruchais rois. Right, you want my sakana? Sakonas shavriri. What's a shavriri? So Rishbam explains, as we'll see in the Gemara in a moment, that this is a mazik that chas v'shalom can bring on blindness on a person. Rishbam says that the targum lashon on the word Sanverim, that by the Masim Aloit, that all of the Mikot and Bad Godol, they all became temporarily or permanently blind. That in Targum Loshen, that's called Shavriri. So Timar B'Tzachim, what does the guy do? He's very, very thirsty. And Muzuch drinking is my Takanti. What is this Takana? He Ikidish Ban a day, if he has somebody else with him, again like we had before, Lay Malay, he should say to the other guy, Planya Bar Planster. He says, Yankel ben Miriam, I'm thirsty. The Eloi, and if there's nobody else, name a Elan Afshi, then he should say to himself, Planya, Ploini. In other words, he calls his name. Omrli Imi, my mother taught me, is dire mishavri. Go and stay away, be careful of this mazik called the Shavriri. And then he continues on and he says, Shavriri, Bariri, Riri, Yiri, Ri. Why does he keep on going in descending level, each one, each time leaving out a letter of the word Shavriri? Because he wants to go and say an incantation that should scare the Mazik, that the Mazik will hear, oh, I see that he constantly reduces my name by another letter, that might be Machlish the Koyach, the decrease the Koyach, the strength of this Mazik. So that's why he says his special Lachash, Briri, Briri, Briri. I happen to be thirsty, and I'm going to drink water. The Kasi Chivri was in Kasi Chivri. Rishbam says, "Koisoy shel cheres." Apparently, earthenware cups in those days were white, and therefore, shavriri. I'm going to drink from Kasi Chivri, and then that will take care of the ruchais rice. Yes.
I don't know if you have an answer for this, but that it's striking to me that when he wakes up a person. He calls them by the name of the child of their mother.
Right.
Do the Mefarshim explain any reason for that?
I haven't seen any Mefarshim. However, as we said earlier, the one that's in charge, for instance, on Tuesday nights and Friday nights,
is a woman.
Igris Bach Nochla. It's konzain that in general, even other nights, those Ruchais Rois also are female-based and not male-based. Beis. Anyway, if you find one of them, go ask them, and you know, please come back with a full report so we'll know. I'm sure you will, because of all the Torah that you're learning, there will be Megan on you, Chas v'Shalom, you shouldn't be missing. Anyway, continuing on, we're now concluded this fascinating sugya of the Ruchais Rois, and we go back to our Mishnah. At the very beginning of our Perek, it says that a person should be makbid to drink four koisois, because oitzesi v'tzalti v'galti v'lekachti, and even an oni shibaniyim, a person who's very, very poor, whose whole sustenance, his whole parnasa is min atamchui. In other words, unfortunately, he has no parnasa, he has no money. He doesn't even have enough for meals for himself and for his family. He has to go and survive from the soup kitchen of the community, the tamchui, where they give out not money, but they give out actual meals. He should make sure to go and get arba koisis for the Seder night. Freitumar pshita. If it's a chiyuv, if you have to have arba koisis, then he has to get arba koisis. What's the Mishnah teaching you? Here we'd be moide. Even though under normal circumstances, Rabbi Kiva says, even if you have to eat a weekday meal on Shabbos as opposed to a Shabbos-tika meal, that's what you should do, and go. Don't go around soliciting funds, don't go and schnorr for money out to Sarach Labrias. However, here, because the Inyan of Arba Koisis is not just Stama Mitzvah, it's a mitzvah that's infused with Pesumei Nes, oh, this is such a choshev mitzvah, he should go to the Tamchoi guy and say, I'm usually very embarrassed to come to you. I say Shabbat Chachol, the whole year I never come to you. This time I have to come to you, I don't have enough money, please supply me with food, with drink for the Arba Koisis.
Is that the Pesumei Nisa that he asked the Gabbai Tzedaka, that he says that's why it's, I mean, what's the Pesumei Nisa? If every house is making the Seder privately, I mean, by Pesumei Nisa, you have the idea of like the Hanukkah the candles in the window,
right,
publicizing.
Right.
What's the publicity for the Nisa that we're doing?
That everybody in Klal Yisrael is drinking these four Koisis, and they invite guests and friends and Kaldich ben Yesu Yechol and his family, and that's why even among some of the secular Jews, many of them have the Seder night. They don't necessarily have it the same way that we have it. In fact, I remember this year I gave out to one of my colleagues at my firm, I gave him out a Shemira Matzah before Yom Tov, and this colleague of mine is an Einikel from either the Baal Shem or the Vilna Gaon or both.
Can be.
Yeah, and so after Yom Tov was over, I come back to the office. He said, David, thank you much. The Shemir Matzah was very good. But you may not be happy by the way that we celebrated Pesach. I said, what do you mean? Pesach that time, I think it was either Sunday night or Monday night last year. And he said he couldn't get together the whole family that night because each one is Ba'ar v'Kitzrei Sa'aretz. But he got them together for Shabbos, and either on Friday night or Matzah Shabbos, they had the Seder, they ate the Matzah. It was tremendous. It was good. Baldi. So, Mistam up in Shemayim, the Rabban Yishlam gives schar for that too. But, you know, it's not the way it should be done. So the point is that everybody wants to go and participate in the Seder night. Even Goyim very often ask that they want to be invited to the Seder, and they want to see what a Seder looks like, and the family gets together. So it's a Pirsum Anas that everybody talks about. We're getting together for Pesach, for Passover. We came out of Egypt. Pirsum Anas. Yes, Rabbi Kohn.
When I was in the army, I had Passover Seder.
Yes, what did you hear?
So I invited the general, you know, his other officers, understand?
No.
But I asked the people, you were allowed to invite them, you understand?
Yeah, yeah.
It's a religious ceremony. Even the Catholic priest asked me,
he wants
is
to be
this a religious ceremony?
Uh-huh.
That he should be prohibited from going. They can't attend religious ceremonies. Let's get permission. So I come, it's not a religious ceremony in that sense, where, you know, Judaism shows something that should be contrary to you,
right,
and so on.
Right.
So he asked that question. But I asked that question, but I'm allowed to invite them.
Yeah.
But the general stole the Afikoman?
Let's continue on. Tana de Velio. Afal pisha omar Rabbi Akiva, asay Shabbat Chachov yaltan el Labrios, avla oisahu dovamut betoich beisai. What Tana de Velio is telling us is, even though a person is very poor, and he should not schnorr for funds to put food on the table, even for Shabbos, asay Shabbat Chachov, but epis a dovamut he should do to go and show the inyan of Shabbos Kodesh. So what's the epis mind, you know? Amrapapa lecholapuchas, he should have a kasa de harsana. Kasa de harsana means he should have at least one bowl, one cup of fish mash. The harsana means kleine fischelach, which were mixed together with oil and together with a little bit of flour. They made a ganze fish stew out of it. So even a poor man should go and strive and struggle to put on his table the kovet Shabbos empis hashtikol fish kasa de harsana. Where do we find this kitnan? Very famous mishnah Peter ben Tema Oimer Habi Os Kanemer Vikal Kanesher Rotzka Tzvi the Giber Kari Lasis Soinavicha Shabashamoy. That this is a beautiful memra. What does it have to do with kasa de harsana? So Rishbam explains, what's the kavanah of Yehuda ben Tema? He doesn't mean that you have to go to the gym to become Az Kanomer, Kal Kanesha, you should put on wings to go and fly. Says Rishbam, that the kavanah of Yehuda ben Tema is that a person should always try to do more than his normal yecholis. See, have Oz Kanemi, says Rishbam, about 12 lines in, his chazik ben mitzis yoyse misha yecholis biyarcha. Your yecholis is only to do X. When it comes to do mitzis, try to push yourself to do X plus 1, X plus 2. Abyssal man. So even though this person uni the evyon, he doesn't have anything to put on the table, he should struggle to do the best that he can to go and borrow, to work an extra errand, to work at night, to the more epis, to be able to get together at least another dollar or two to have kasa de harsana on the table. Okay, turn about it. Shiva Devarim, Tzviva, Rabbi Kiva, as Rabbi Shua ben Noi. Seven things Rabbi Kiva taught or gave as an admission to his son. Now, who is his son, Rabbi Yeshua? This itself is a very, very touchy issue. What's so touchy? It's not Rabbi Yeshua. So if you look at the Rishbam, he says, you know who this Rabbi Yeshua was? It's Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. How did Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha get the name Yeshua ben Karcha? It was Rabbi Yeshua ben Rabbi Akiva. It was ben Karcha. So Rishbam quotes a famous Gemara. Then Ben Azai said, that Kol Chach Mi Yisrael Doi Melefana Ki Klipas Shum Chut Min Akareach Hazeh. Ben Azai was talking at a time when he was the B'dichas, in other words, he was Freilich Abisl, Efshebisl Getrink, and Efshebseps Purim, he was in a very, very festive, very happy mood, and he said, Ale Yin Klai Yisrael, Ale Chachamim, there before Nai, like Klipas Hashem, just like the Klipa of anybody who's ever tried to peel off garlic, knows that the peel is very, very thin, so all Chach Mitzol are Lefonai Klipas Hashem, except for this bald guy. Who is the bald guy that he was referring to? None other than Rabbi Akiva. So therefore, since Rabbi Akiva was bald, he was a kereach. Rabbi Shua ben Karcha is Rabbi Shua, the son of the famous kereach of Rabbi Akiva. As he took to Rashbam. Toisus is very, very upset about that, the top Toisus, and he says, how can you go and say that the Gemara for the Gantz Shas from beginning to end, every time the Rabbi Shua ben Karcha, we're referring to Rabbi Akiva, it's the Chabizoyin to go and call Rabbi Akiva Akirech, the baldy. The Gadol should be Yisrael. They Gantz Rashke Bahagav Klal Yisrael to call him on a daily basis throughout the Gemara Rabbi Shua ben Karcha. Sashtikul Bizoyin. Aye, we find by Ben Azai. So Tosis says, that was B'derech B'dichas. In other words, he was a mul freilach, whatever. He went a party and everybody was festive. So, as Ashtikul Plitas Ape. But under normal circumstances, go and call him the baldy, chas v'shal. So anyway, so machloek is here, Rishbam and Toisis, whether this is the famous Rabbi Shua ben Karcha or is it Rabbi Shua Bereb Akiva. Anyway, yeah.
Azai was one of the four with Nichlas Leparis.
That's true.
And he didn't have a good end, as it turned out. He was one of the three who did not come.
What you're saying is true, but I wouldn't want to associate one with the other to say that was the reason why he had a bad end, because he referred to Rabbi Akiva as the Karech. But you're right. Anyway, continuing on. So what did Rabbi Akiva teach his son, Rabbi Yeshua? Bini! To him, seven things. First thing is Alteisha Begoy Vishalir Vetishna. If you want to go and learn Gezintahait, but don't learn at the top of the city where everybody can go and see you. Now, what's the problem if you're living, learning Begoy Vishalir? Says Rashi, because Beneyo Ir Oivrin Vishovin Vivatlucha Vyafsikucha Mimishnasra. If you sit in Bismedish somewhere, people don't tend to go and run by and forth in the Bismedish a whole day. However, if you're going to be in the middle, you're going to be sitting in the middle of Times Square, in the middle of a big intersection, everybody's going to be passing by, they're going to say, hey, buddy, maybe you can go and tell me how I get to 43rd Street, 45th Street, how to get the east side to the west side. People are going to be mevatel you from learning, therefore, go and learn bitzenua, don't learn out in the open when people are going to be mevatel you. But the Mefarshim say that if you want to succeed in learning, you got to do it bitznias, v'hatznia lechasim mishem lekecha, not do it bitpirsim. Continuing on, don't live in a city where the mayor and the council are all Talmidei Chacham. Why is that? Why shouldn't you? Says Rishbam.
Actually, we're good in New York then.
Yeah, we don't have a problem here. Yeah, exactly. Says Rishbam. What's the reason? Why? The Torah begirsa for the Torah b'milut tzibura. If you're going to go and take a mayor who happens to be Chacham, every time there's going to be an important meeting because there's a danger befalling the city, you're going to say, sorry, I have to go to the Daf Yomi. Now we'll talk about it later on. Who's going to take care of the emergencies? Who's going to call the police and the fire department, etc., etc.? You got to have a mayor. And this is our grace of Tamach. Don't come into your home suddenly, unexpectedly. Certainly not into your chaver's home. The reason is, explains Rishbam, because maybe somebody in the home, particularly one of the women of the home, may not be dressed sneistic, or they may be doing something that requires sneus, and therefore you're going to disturb, and it won't be the right thing to do. Yeah,
don't open
the
letter, and
then
you have to knock on the door.
Okay, fine, fine. Yeah, what do you
want to
say, Barry?
We had more news. Even the Kohen Gadol, he had the little bells on the hem of his clothing. Even his own house, he has to announce he's coming.
How do you know where to say the pasuk? Exactly. Rishbam quotes that Gemara, that pasuk, the Nishma Koyl Bavoy LaKodesh, that when the Kohen Gadol came in, he had on the bottom those bells that made noise so people should hear when he comes in. There Yeah, Shay. Good. The altim minalayim lemiraglecha. Make sure to go and wear shoes. Rashbam says because it's a gnai for Talmud Chacham to walk around without shoes. And as Gemara Masechet Shabbos, a person should sell every other earthly possession that he has to go and buy shoes for his feet. Not only because of the kovod and the bizoyin, but bepushit, it's a very dangerous to walk around without shoes, especially outside with broken glass and this and that and the other thing. Hashkim v'achul v'kayit v'niyachama u'b'choyr v'niyatzina. So Rabbi Akiva is saying to his son, always make sure to eat early in the day, so you should have koyach for that day. If it's during the summer, you have to eat early, since you have strength when it's a hot day. And if it's during the winter, you have to eat early, because it's a cold day. Always make sure to eat breakfast. Breakfast is the most important meal of the day. Don't skip breakfast. V'asei shabat chachoy v'atastach l'briyas. That's why we brought this Gemara, because of what we just said a moment ago. Even if a person is poor, your Shabbos should be a weekday, except for the Kasa D'Harsana. You should go and try to do business with someone who is matzliach. That Baruch Hashem, every deal he does, he makes money. Try to go and associate yourself with him. Now the question is, on that final seventh vart that Rabbi Akiva said, how far reaching is it? So Amar Papa, Leila Mizvi Neva Leila Zvunile. We don't mean that he should do business to buy or sell El Mevid Shutvis Badeh, but rather to go and do a partnership. Why not? Why shouldn't you buy and sell? Says Rishbam, because since he is so matzliach, if you buy from him or you sell to him, he may have the upper hand and you're going to lose out in this transaction. He's going to overcharge you, or your schayra that he sells you won't be so good, and he's matzliach and you're not going to be able to go and fight him because Baruch Hashem, his mazel is good. So don't buy or don't sell, but you should do a shudfis. However, Yashu Yom Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak Maidach Sivitz is a pasuk in the beginning of Eoiv, when Eoiv was having good times before HaKadosh Baruch Hu went and punished Eoiv. What does it say in the pasuk? Masi Yodu Berachta. Everything that Eoiv did, his hands were gold. Whatever he touched turned into gold. Yes, Gabba.
But didn't punish Eoiv.
Rather?
He put him on a test.
I accept it.
Maskim.
I use the punishment in the terms of that until that point,
the,
everything
is fine. The test had to do with something unpleasant.
Okay.
But it was not the intent of the Kodesh Baruch Hu to punish you.
I accept the correction, Yeshikoyach Gaber. This was a test of Eoiv's emunah and faith. Look through the rest of Eoiv what happened. But the point is, at the very beginning, before those tests began, everything went very, very well for him. And says the Gemara, says, "Passing Masi Yoda Birachta, Ula Masi Daim," any business that he touched, everything turned to gold. Says that Rav Shmuel Bayitzchak, based on that, Kol Anoitra Pruta Me'Eoiv. Anybody that got money from Eoiv by selling him goods, and Eoiv gave him money, Mizbarech, then that money itself also had a bracha attached to it. That being the case, I felt the Mizminel is when he lay shaper dummy. Not like I thought in the Havamina, don't buy and sell, only do a shutfiz. No, even buying and selling is also good, because everything that he had shaykhis to had that golden touch. So hopefully that'll wear off on the money that he gives me, and it'll wear off on me as well, and I should also have the same muscle. When Rabbi Kiva was taken to jail by the Romans, the Gemara at the end of Masechtas Brachos tells us the reason why he was taken is because he defied the decree of the Roman government not to go and teach Torah Berabim. And the Gemara tells us the famous story with Papas Ben Yehuda, Aganzi Geshef. Anyway, the point is that Rabbi Kiva was Makil Kehilos Berabim and teaching Gemara and teaching Torah and teaching Midrashim for the public, and he was arrested and put into jail. So when he was in jail, Rabbi Shimon Yehoi, who was out of jail, wanted to learn Torah from him. So he came by the jail and he asked him, "Rabbi Kiva, please teach me." Says the Gemara, "Chamishas Barim Tivei Rabbi Kiva Esav Shimon Yehoi, Kishu Yechovich Bebeis Yisur." Amalai. So before he taught him the five things, first the Gemara has a shtickle introduction, a story. Amalai Rebbe Lamdeni Torah. So Rabbi Shimon Yehoi, Rabbi Kiva, please teach me Torah. Amar, he said, "Eni Malat Mecha, I'm not going to go and teach you Torah. The reason why is," explains Rishbam, "because that's the reason why I'm behind jail, because I taught Torah, and therefore I want to save you from that fate. If I'm going to learn with you, the guards are going to see, they're going to put you in jail too. I want to save you." Amalai, "Im Ein Atam Lamdeni, Ani Oymer Liyoychi Abba, if you're not going to go and teach me, then I'm going to snitch to my father." This is the Chacham Shimon ben Yechai. "I'm going to tell my father Rabbi Yechai, and he's going to go and give a Mesira to the Malchus, to the government. So the Marsha already explains that this Gemara is somewhat difficult because he's already in jail. So what are they going to do? They're going to put him into a deeper jail. They're going to put him into solitary confinement. So the Marsha said that what he was suggesting to him was, you know, we can really throw the books at you and not just... And of course, it's an empty threat. Reb Shimon Yochai doesn't mean that he's chas v'shalom.
Not just manslaughter, but murder one.
Ought to say. Exactly. So, Avada, chas v'shalom, Reb Shimon Yochai and Reb Yochai, they're not going to go and make a Messiah of the Malchus. It goes without saying. What he meant to show him is his strong, strong desire and yearning for learning Torah to the extent that he was able to go and make these idle threats. He said, I really want to learn with you. And if not, I'm going to explode. Yeah, I want to learn so much. Amalai. So now Rabbi Kiva answers back. Bani, Yosef Masha Eger Roitzalinik, part of Roitzalahanik. You think you want to learn? The desire that you want to learn is less than the even greater desire that I want to teach you, because the desire of the teacher to teach is greater than the Talmud to go and learn. Amalai. So said Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai back. Umi b'sakana. Why are you worried? After all, who is the b'sakana? Well, the ego b'sakana, that's me. I'm willing to take upon myself that possibility, chas v'shalom, that I'm going to be put into jail. Don't worry about it. Everything will be okay. Anyway, that's the conclusion of the dialogue that's quoted by the Gemara. And now we go into the five things that Rabbi Kiva taught Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. What were the five? Amalai. In Bikashta Lechonik, he told her Be'ilan Godar. Of course, on the surface, this is a bit of a strange statement. If you want to choke Chas v'Shalom, go and hang yourself on a tall tree. But that's not what it means. Rather, says Rishbam, what he was telling him is, if you want to go and paskin halacha to the masses, people that are going to ask you shailas, don't go and try to be mechadish on your own. He told Be'ilan Godel. He told Be'ilan Godel, says Rishba, means go and find a good Rebbe, a Groysa Talmud Chochem, and sit and learn Bahasmada for many years, and then you'll be able to go and paskin. He told Be'ilan Godel. What's the solution in Bikashta Lechonek, says Rishba? Part of the Rishba says, since we use the expression he told Be'ilan Godel, so then he brings in Chanika, because that kind of associates with someone who, chas v'shalom, is hanging from a tree. He dies as a result of choking because he cannot breathe anymore, rachmon litzlan. But what does that mean in this context? So the Mefarshim explain that Rabbi Kiva saw that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is going to become a Gadol b'Yisrael, and he's going to have to paskin shailus of pikuach nefesh, things which are mamish, very, very heavy duty shailus. Not just are you allowed to go and talk between Baruch Shomar and between Yishtabach, that every child knows he's not allowed to. But he's going to go and ask him questions at Chas v'Shalom, dealing with people. Should I put him on a respirator? Should I disconnect the respirator? You know, very, very heavy duty Nebuch shailus in Aloch. So he's telling him, in Bikash Lechonik, if you're going to have to deal with issues that refer to the Arba Misois Bezdin, like Nebuch Chenek, like choking, which is the least of the four Mises Bezin, so you're dealing with really grave, heavy-duty issues, don't just paskin your own. He told me, in God will go to a great Rav, to a great Tzaddik, and a great Kodosh, and learn from him all the halachas until you know it properly. This is halacha number two. When you're teaching your child, you're being mechanechem. Lamdeyu b'sefer mugem. Make sure that the sefer is mugem. Mugem means that they've had an editor that's gone through it to make sure that there are no mistakes. They've proofread it well. There are no mistakes in the sefer. What's the concern? If you're talking about a brand new sefer, even today you get brand new svarim, and sometimes you see there are many, many printing errors. So what's the problem? Shabeshta, kiven de'ol. When a mistake comes into a young child who's just learning for the first time, that mistake goes with him forever and ever. When a person happens to be older and he learns a mistake afterwards, he hears a mistake, okay, he forgets about it, I made a mistake. In other words, he learned incorrectly, he realizes he made a mistake, forget about it. But a young child of 3 or 4 or 5 or 6, when you're teaching him Aleph Beis, if you're going to tell him that a Beis is a Pei or a Pei is a Beis, he might for the rest of his life make the mistake of learning and reading and speaking improperly. So therefore, very important, it should be safe for Muga, everything. Vuzuk to Gaba? Vuzuk to him? Yes, to the Yankas and the Mishai. Yes, to the Yankas. They're fine. Okay. You have to be very careful about this form. Shebeshtik, even the all the mistake is a mistake. Mr. Katz, do you want to tell your story about the Yitrael?
Yeah, I was teaching in Maimonides in Boston, 1966, fifth grade. And the first day of school, I walked up and down listening to the children davening. And, of course, when you say Shema Yisrael, you cover your eyes. So I had one Talmud that said, Shema Yitrael. And I stopped him immediately, and I told him he should look at the letters and he should read, even though it's Shema Yisrael, he should point at the letters and read them. And he said, Shema Yit, and I stopped him. I said, look at the letter, Moshe, look at the letter. And he himself was dumbfounded, Yisrael. That's, but
and who was his teacher?
I found out the four previous teachers were Israeli women. And an Israeli teacher told me herself, who had learned in Beis Yaakov, that she came to teach in Chicago, in Beis Yaakov, and the class was rowdy, and she banged her hand on the table, and she said, Shekes!
Instead of Sheket, Shekes. She thought it was a sof instead of a test.
Mishkala slowly tested the okay.
Exactly. So it shows you, Shabeshnik, even to all, especially with children, make sure you teach them properly. Otherwise, for the rest of their life, they can be saying Shema Yitrael instead of Shema Yisrael. And we continue on. Don't use a pot to cook that was used by someone else. And this is a Lashon Saginor, this is a euphemistic term. It doesn't mean you can't borrow somebody else's pot. But mind you, what are we referring to? We're referring to a Grusha B'chayi Bala. If Chas Shalom, someone never had to give a get to his wife, so someone else should not marry that Grusha if he can avoid it. This is not necessarily for Gans Klal Yisrael. This is special message that Rabbi Akiva is telling Rabbi Shimon Yochai, you stay away from marrying a Grusha. What's so terrible about marrying a Grusha? Do you have a mar? Gorish, and also Grusha, Arba Deyes V'mita. If a Gorish means someone, the man was divorced, and if the wife was divorced, and now the man divorcee marries the lady divorcee, and now they get married, then it's as if there are 4 days. What means there are 4 days, Mamita? So Rishbam says that both of the new husband and wife, unfortunately, they think back to their previous mates. And therefore, whilst they are having beer, during Bishas Maisa, each one is thinking about the previous mate that they had before. And there's a Gemara that says that if a person thinks about another woman, Bishas Bia, then Chas Hashem, the children are Korev L'mamzerim. Not Mamish Mamzerim, Cholila, but there's a shtickle blemish in their Yichas, in their Rochnias. Why these are called B'nei Grushas Aleif? Mamish Grushas Aleif. So look at the last Rishbam, 2 lines from the bottom. Arba Deyois, says Rishbam. Bishas Tashmish, Zeliba the Ishtarishon, he thinks about his first wife. Vizois the Balarishon, she thinks about her first husband. Vitanya, Le Yeshamish Odomim Ishtavit and Eina Beisha Acheres, you now let her go and live and think about another woman. Vyubanav Kroival Mamzeinim and Ekroim Bene Grusis alive. And here, Bal Korchach, unfortunately, he thinks about these early, and she thinks about her early mate, therefore, stay away, a Gorish, first of all, don't become a Gorish, and if you're Gorish, don't go marry a Grusha, and even a single person don't marry a Grusha, because if you have the problem, Arba Deis Mamita. There was another version that he told him, don't even marry an Almana. Why can't you marry an Almana? Lafisha and Kolet Boy Shabbos. Even though over there, by an Almana, she at least is no longer going to think about her husband, because her husband is already dead. But nevertheless, we have another problem, not only Etz Boy Shabbos. Again, the word Etzba over here is used in a very euphemistic Lashon Noki. We're talking about the Eva Tashmish. If you look at the top of Rishbam, Eva Tashmish Tichsha in the right hand side. She might hate the new husband because she was used to the Eva Tashmish of her first husband. This one doesn't do, it's not the same. It's whatever. And therefore, she'll hate him. The Taparashi says, not she'll hate him, she'll be mezalzel by and she'll say, okay, whatever. Yedana Fishtait, Meged Vaita. Zutim Ravaita, Mitzvah. So we're continuing on the things that Rav Akiva taught Rav Shimon Baichai. Mitzvah v'guf gadol oichel peiros v'loy schar mitzvah. What are we talking about? I'm sorry, v'loy schar. Then afterwards it says mitzvah guf tar is the next thing. Well, what is this all about? Mitzvah guf gadol explains Rishbam that there's certain mitzvahs that not only are you doing a tremendous mitzvah, but you can profit from the mitzvah as well. What does that mean that you can profit from the mitzvah? So Rishbam gives the example of what we call a mashkanta de sura. What is a mashkanta de sura? Mashkanta de sura means that what happens if a person has to go and borrow funds, and he needs the money, So the lender says to him, I will lend you money, but only on a mashkin if you go and give me collateral. What type of collateral? Real estate is the best collateral. That's why the banks always take mortgages on real estate. Okay, so give me the real estate, and you'll have your loan. Now, normally, if you take a loan from a bank, so you have to pay the loan back in 5 years, 7 years, 10 years, 30 years, whatever the terms are. Of course, with a bank, you have to go and pay ribbis. We're talking about over here without paying any ribbis. You don't have to pay any interest. But nevertheless, it's a big choif to have to go and pay back, whether or not you amortize it over 5 or 10 or 20 years, if you have to pay the whole thing at the end. But lamais, you got to give the money back. It's a lot of money. So in Surah, they made a special takana, which was good both for the malve and for the leifer. What was the malve and the leifer? They transformed this collateralized loan into a temporary sale for years. What means a temporary sale for years? Let's assume, for instance, that the loan was, let's make it easy, was $1,000. And during that $1,000, the loan was for 10 years. At the end of the 10 years, you'd have to go and give back the $1,000. Or for that matter, if you amortize it, you'd have to give back $100 a year. But $100 is a lot of money, especially if it's not $1,000. If it's a million, you have to pay $100,000 a year. Okay, so what did they make up in Surah? That the lender, the malva, instead of taking back money, he said, you know what? Not only will I go and give you the money for 10 years, but I want to go and use your field, this real estate that you're giving me as the mashkin. Give it to me. I will pay you, in a sense, $100 rent a year. Therefore, you don't have to pay me. I don't have to pay you. By the end of the 10 years, we're done. You don't have to pay me back anymore. So what's the benefit? The benefit is that the fellow who got his $1,000, Baruch Hashem, he gets $1,000. He doesn't have to go and pay back at the end of the 10 years. He doesn't have to pay back during any of the 10 years, because Baruch Hashem, the choiv was all wiped out. And as far as the malva is concerned, he has the benefit of using this field and planting it and nurturing it and this and that, and hopefully he makes a bit of a profit too. Now, even though on the surface, isn't this a question of ribbis? No. In Surah, they said, instead of making it a ribbis, let's not call it a collateralized loan. We're going to go and talk about it as a purchase and sale for years, not a permanent sale for the next 100 years. You'll own it for a lease, a long-term lease, a short-term lease for 5 years or 10 years. You're allowed to do a short-term lease. That's not a problem. So the lease was for $100 a year, and therefore he's able to go. Now, it could be that normally to go and rent such a field, lease terms would be $150, and he's only getting it for $100. So that's part of the profit that we're talking about, that he can do a big mitzvah to the other person, and at the same time he's getting schar. This is the mitzvah v'guv gadol oichel peiris. This is the type of thing, oichel peiris v'lo yischar. Our Gemara says, in fact, some of the Mefarshim say that this is a printing mistake. See, that's one of the proofreading things that you should be careful. Otherwise, Shebeshkim the all. It should say Veloischar Mitavuf. That even though he is giving this, he's having a tremendous mitzvah. Veloischar, he is getting the schar of his mitzvah Ba'olam Hazeh, that he's able to go and work in this field and make money. Now, there's a mitzvah of a guf tohar. What's the definition of mitzvah guf tohar? Says the Gemara, noisi isha v'loi banim. He marries a wife and he has sons. So the Rejbam and the Rashi are silent as to what this means. Ramosha and Ebn Ezra has a tshuva. In fact, it's the first tshuva in Ebn Ezra. Ramosha was asked, what is this noisi isha v'loi banim? And he says two possible pshatim. Shot number one is, since it's a mitzvah of Pirat Rivia, Noisi Isha, make sure to go and get married, and the Kodesh Baruch will give you a bracha v'loi banim, v'estachom kinda. But Moshe says he likes a second shot better. Noisi Isha, you go and get married v'loi banim, even if you have children already. Even if you already have children. And Chas V'Shalom Moshe, his wife died, for instance. He shouldn't say, I was Mekai in Pirat Rivia. No, Noisi Isha should still get married. Why should you get married? Because the Gemara says in other places that the reason why you get married is not only for proof purposes, but also one shouldn't have here hurim, one shouldn't go and think about other women. This way he has his wife, he'll have pas pasaloi, he'll have a gufnoki, and he won't have here hurim, he'll be able to learn Torah, be oivet Hashem, etc., etc. So even though he has children already, he should get married again.
Maybe the third shot.
Yeah, what's the third shot?
That you should come on call on guf, and also Hashem is your Torah. Even though you know it's a mitzvah period, you should marry a woman dafka who can have children still, as opposed to not.
What you're saying is good, but then you're talking about that she has to be a young woman. Agmar says noisi isha, which sounds like in general, even if he happens to be 80 and she's 75, where except by Avram and Sarah, it's very rare that they should have kids. Nevertheless, she should get married. He shouldn't have.
So basically, noisi isha, v'loi banim. Therefore, he can fend from that. V'loi banim, have children from that.
That's the first pshat. First pshat is noisi isha. Every person should get married, that he should have children. But that's the chayyim davar pasha. That's not something special. Rabbi Akiva has said Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. What he's telling Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai is get married even if you have children already. And if Chas v'Shalom your first wife has passed on, and you should still remarry, so you shouldn't have any erhurim. You should have a woman, a pasvah son. Okay, next. Yes, Gabba.
The interesting thing,
Rabbi
Shimon bar Yochai was probably not as it was not his idea was that Akiva would give him some answers from Malocha, and he Akiva gave him philosophic answers, which I don't think the Romans were against. I mean, the Romans,
Gabo, what you're saying is correct. Our Gemara doesn't go into it all. Maybe it, besides that, maybe he went and taught him Gansim Sechtes Chulim Balpeh. Maybe he went and taught him Gansim Sechtes Shabbos. Our Gemara only quotes these five permanent ethical lessons and morals that he taught him, that you should live your life with these standards. But in addition to that, Ve'evais, you know, our Gemara doesn't go into it.
He was not sent to jail because he's teaching those things.
You never know. Anything based on Torah could be, they say, if you're quoting Aristotle's, no problem. But you're quoting the Heilige Torah, there's a different story. Anyway, continue on. Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Rabbi taught as Bonov, Al Toder B'Shachnetziv. Shachnetziv was a place, I think, in either Hungary or Galicia. Mishum Delitzoni Haver, Machshel Lechob Letzanusa. Because in Shachnetziv, there, unfortunately, there are a lot of Letzanim, and Chas V'Shalom, they're going to draw you into Letzanis, and a person has to be serious. That doesn't mean he can't crack a joke once in a while, but don't live your whole life in Letzanis. Be careful not to go and sit on a bed aramis. Now the Gemara says three separate pshatim. What does that mean, sit on a mita aramis? First pshat is ikadamid loy tigni loy krishma. Don't go to sleep like a goy. A goy goes to sleep, he doesn't think about any Shema Yisrael, he doesn't think about Rigzval Techto, he doesn't think about any of the psukim from Tehillim and the other psukim that we say. He just goes to sleep, a goy shlofen. So therefore, don't go to sleep like a goy. Make sure to go and say Krishma properly, and go and say Hamapal, and say all the psukim, etc., etc. Vikir Yami, another version, is like Tintsev Giyarta. A Yid should not go marry a Giyaris. What do you mean? Why? You can't marry Giyaris? You're supposed to. However, says the Rishbam, the problem is that a person, most people are not able to control themselves, and from time to time, they say things that afterwards they have tremendous charata. Look at all the politicians. Sometimes they say a word, and after that, for the next 100 years, they mischarat that they said that. Halavai wouldn't have said it, he would have won the election. Whatever. So you got to be careful about what you say. So therefore, a person might say something which is denigrating about goyim. Now, if you're just saying it amongst us Jews, you say something about goyim, we all know. Shelo yisani goy. Baruch Hashem, the boy who made us all yidden, we can learn the Heilige Torah. Nishka goy. However, if you go and say that with fervor in front of your wife, and your wife happens to be a Giyoidis, even though she did take upon herself the Jewish religion, Rishbam quotes another famous Gemara, that don't say anything negative about goyim in front of a ger, because Giyoira ad asara dori leitavazi armo'o bi'ape. A ger, even up to 10 generations, don't say anything negative about goyim, because he will become offended. And therefore, he's telling his son, don't go and marry a giyoris, because you might at some point say something negative about a Gentile, and she'll be offended and she'll be upset. And therefore, be careful.
The
Yichad Yisrael. Yeah, what does that? So the Chadudin. It was okay. Yeah. You're talking about Rabbi Akiva.
Yeah.
But Agamar Suma now about Rabbeinu HaKadosh talking to his sons. So it's okay, no problem. Anyway, so therefore that's pshat number two. When it says don't sit down on a mita of an aramis, it means euphemistically don't marry a giyaris. But there's a third version, armois mamish. We're talking the mamish, don't sit down on a bed that is owned by a goita. Mishemas is Rapapa because of the famous story of Rapapa. Now the Gemara doesn't tell us what the story of Rapapa is. There is Gerada, Gizuntai, Mandy. Gerada, the Gemara brings a story of Rapapa on Daf Ches in Mesechtes Brachos, which we learned not too long ago. Rishbam and Rashi both bring that story, but with a few different details. What was the story? Let's look quickly at the Rishbam in the right hand margin, about 10-12, let's next to the Ben Echanan, about 10-12 lines in. Vikriyami, Amita Ramis Mamish, Mishemasid Rapapa, Shoyse Ramis Achas Chayevis Loi Mo'ois. There was a time that Rapapa lent money to an Aramis, and now the maturity date came and went, and she didn't pay. Rapapa knocked on the door and said, Mrs. Aramis, you owe me money. And she says, please, come, Rabbi, come on in, I'll pay you, sure, no problem. Take a seat, sit down, and I'm going to go into my safe, I'm going to take the money out, I'm going to write a check, you just wait here. And she invited him to sit down on the bed. So he said, Ramas achas chayev is like mois. V'nichlas v'beis, and he went into her house. Ligvay semena to go and collect. Chonkez b'na. What did she do before Rapapa came in? He heard that what a wonderful lady this was. She went and choked her own son and killed the child. V'nasnasei al hamita, and she put him, here it says al hamita, it's really under the mita. And ukshinisan Rapapa came in. Amrloi, she said, Rapapa, Rabbi, shev al hamita, go and sit down. Give me a minute, I have to go and take the money from here, from there. Sit down. That's what he did. When she came back in, Amrloi, she said, hey, I'm looking, hey, Johnny, where's Johnny? Where's my baby Johnny? Rabbi, could you please sit up for a moment? And he stood up. Oh, look, underneath the bed, you sat on my child, you killed my child. Hey, matas vidi. So what do you think? Rapapa didn't wait around to go and collect the choif, but rather, baruch lemin ha-medina, he ran away from the Medina.
There's no shan le-yichus.
You know, the door was open and there were 12 other goyim around, 12 other yidin around. There was no yichud problem. There were the closed circuit television, but alles gesehen, you can even see it today on YouTube, the whole story. I heard the way the Girsa of Rashi brings the same thing, and Rishbam, this had a very poor ending. The Gemara Grad and Mesechus Brachos has it in reverse, that Rapapa was invited to come into the home to go and collect the choiv. She said to him, sit down. Rapapa, having learned Daf Yoimi from the previous Machzer, knew about this Rashi and Rishbam. He says, I'm not sitting down. Why didn't you sit down? Because when the lady went into the other room, he showed people, he picked up the mattress, said, look what's here under the mattress. There was the dead child of this woman. So therefore, Rapapa knew this. That's why he said, don't sit down on the bed. Okay, whatever the story is, but bottom line is, Aram is mamish, you never know what the goyim have in mind, azamin trick. Don't try to be mavriach yourself, in other words, try to be not to pay your taxes. Why? Dilma mishkechulach v'shakli minach, called the islach. Now, we're not talking about in a taxes which are fairly and squarely assessed by the Medina. We're talking about in the good old days where there was an arrangement between individual tax collectors with the Melech. Where the Melech would go and say, fellow, you have to collect from this town $10,000. By hook or by crook, whichever way you want, you give me the $10,000, you're in charge. If you make a profit, gesundheit. And he did it by hook or by crook. These tax collectors were very crooked, and they would go to a person and say, you better pay me, da 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 da, or I'm going to go and put you in jail. I'm going to be moisted to the malchus. So therefore, instead of collecting $10,000, he would collect $100,000, and he would pocket $90,000 and give $10,000 to the melech.
The Meisher Feinstein said, if he purchased, should pay his regular tax. Means that you should pay. So why can't it be just the tax that you owe? Why do you have to go into a business situation?
Well, the point is that Rabbeinu HaKadosh is teaching even beyond, like, beyond the letter of the law. So what's beyond the letter of the law? Avad that you have to pay your taxes, this is ogeret, there's nothing to talk about. What the Gemara is telling us is, even when the tax collector is not collecting for the king, but he's collecting for himself, don't think that you're going to be able to go and fool him and try to hide from him. You should know, unfortunately, if you're not going to pay what this crooked tax collector is assessing you, he's going to go and report you. Till mishkechulach, they're going to go and you're going to think you're going to flee and hide. They're going to find you. And they're going to go and penalize you by taking away everything that you have. So don't try to be an ol b'chuchem and try to fool the tax collector. Chas v'shalom, you can lose everything.
So how do you find in Europe, they claim that certain governments you don't have to give because the way they treated you.
Those were all very, they only asked this in the litter. By uns a chassidim at chaim
v'shalom. No, this is not what Rebbe told us, chassidim, you have to pay your taxes. Say this is not like
you asked in Europe, you didn't ask Europe. Over here. About
they had governments over there that they were.
All right, and these are all interesting questions. Let me get back to it. Tam b'fnei hashor b'shor sh'oilim in ha'agam, m'shasot m'raket b'in kadam. Don't stand idly by when a shor, when an ox comes back, when he's returning from the agam, like from the marshes, that means that the shor is very, very freilich. Why is he very freilich? He just came back from the agam and he just filled himself up with all of the delicious reeds and vegetation and grass that he was able to find, all the hay, and now he is a verom levavecha, he's now freilich because he's now full, and chulil levachas, you're going to start up with him, you're going to chep with him, Chas v'sholem, the shor could be a shor nagchan, like the Gemara is going to say in a moment. Reb Shmuel, b'shor shachar b'yom nissen. You particularly have to be careful about a black shor b'yom nissen. The Rishbam doesn't explain what is black. He just says b'yom nissen because b'yom nissen hatzmochim oilin v'gas libay v'negech. In other words, throughout the winter until now, whenever the shor went out into the fields, it was very slim pickings because things didn't grow in the height of the winter. Now the winter is over. Now it's March, April. Things are starting to grow. Oh, the shor goes out and says, I've been waiting for this now for months. And now he's ghastly boy. He's so happy. So freilich, stay away from such a shor. Vosep is a shvarte shor. The marshor says that's a Kabbalistic reason. Vosep is a shvarte shor. Ayin shem. Anyway. Tony Rav Oishia, Marchik Mishar Tam, Chamisha Mama, stay away even from a Shar Tam, 50 Amas. Mishar Amuid, Kimalei Einav, stay away, Kimalei Einav, don't even think of getting close, stay far, far away. Imar Ataki gives us an example, Tony Mishmei, Zerb Meir, Reish Tur B'dikula, even if you see that the Torah's head is in a basket, in other words, he's really concentrating on eating his food, so you think, oh, he's not dangerous, he's eating now. Sakla Igra, go and quickly run up to the roof of your house, to the second floor of your house, and throw down the ladder behind you, so that the shor shouldn't climb up the ladder to come up to the second floor or to come to the roof, following him. Of course, we don't mean this literally, because shvarim usually don't know how to go and climb up ladders, but the point is, stay away as far as possible, even if you think that the shor is not focusing attention on you, he's focusing on the food, run in all directions, just get out. Okay, Omer Rav. Now Rav says, if you want to either call or get rid of an animal, you have to know how to speak to them. You have to know their language, so to speak. So Omer Rav, Niza de Tura Hein Hein. Niza de Aryeh Ze Ze. What does this Niza mean? So if you look at the Rishbam, it's about two or three lines lower than our Gemara. Niza de Tura is a Rishbam. First he brings from Rabbeinu, which is Rashi, Lachash al Hashor Shloi Nakhanu. If you want to have a psazashtical incantation, you see a shor is coming to you, then the niza where the shor is, go and say, hey, nein! And that'll help you. Kach Pirush Rabbeinu. However, Rishbam said, Nir, Be'enai Sheinu Lachash, we're not talking about Lachash, El Ga'ara Shegoyer Boi Beloshin Hazeh, either Lahavricha Me Olav, or Kedeshiyas Malacha, V'chein Kulan. In other words, the niza is a form of yelling. Next to Rishbam says, Niza is Gara. So you yell at the shor. You're yelling at it either because you want the shor to run away, and you say, hey, 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 in other words, get away, get out of here. And hopefully the tutor will understand. Or, on the other hand, maybe if you have a shor that works for you in the field and you want it to work, you say, no, hey, 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 no, go, go. That's the tutor. By an aria, you go and say, ze, ze. This is the gamla by a gomu, you say, do, do. This is the arba. Arba means a ship or a boat. Obviously, he's not talking to the ship or boat itself. He's talking to the workers on the ship. And he says to them, Hilnaha Yehila Hiluk Hulia. And by saying these words, that will speed them up that they should do the proper job to start working on the boat. They won't sit on their hands doing nothing. Those are the words to go and get them to work. Omar Abaye. Abaye says now in very succinct terms, Oyer, or Dag, or Kois, or Chamin, or Beim, or Kinim Levonim, Kulan Koshin Dover Ache. Here the word Dover Ache means for possibility of Taras. In other words, I don't know if it means a Taras in the Torah, but some sort of infection that can come on the person's skin, which is similar to leprosy. All of these things, Chas v'Shalom, can bring it on. So now we're going to go through each one in detail. Besides or, is of course leather, but here we don't mean leather, here we mean mandigoni amashcha tzala. Someone who is lying down on a skin or a hide of an animal, which is still by the tzala. Tzala is the tanner. In other words, it hasn't been fully processed, and you lie in that chulila, it can bring on to davarachim. If you eat dag, what type of dag? Shibuta yom nissen. Throughout the year, it's not a problem. It's only if you eat a special shibuta dag during yom nissen, that's when you have the problem. Kois, we don't mean stam drinking. Everybody drinks from a kois. We mean shiuri kasa de hasen. If you drink the kasa de hasen which you had on the omed aleph, that's what you're supposed to have is a fish brine, a fish mash, and you eat what's left over from that fish, especially if it's already 2 or 3 weeks old and it wasn't in the refrigerator, you're going to get a nice big stomach ache and botulism and all that type of stuff. Okay, chamin.
Is that brine? Brine said it's
fish mash, fish hash, fish brine. Now you go and mix kleine fishluch with some sort of oil, with some sort of
leftover from the herring.
Okay, it says azan. It's a machel out of dugim. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, chamin. What says chamin? Stay away from hot water. Chamimi de chamimi mishadri levei. Make sure that chas v'shalom you don't get hot water poured on him, because chas v'shalom that's very, very dangerous. Stay away. Bayim, talking about eggs. Everybody eats eggs. No, man de madrich al klipim. Make sure not to go and tread upon the klipim, the shells of the eggs. Presumably, this is more spiritual than physical. Kinim levonim, stay away from white lice, because man de mechave levushay v'lo not to late to mani yoyim. A person that went and cleaned his garments, in other words, he sent them to the laundry, he laundered them himself, and he didn't wait for 8 days after that. V'hado lovishlo, and he puts them on again. Barian hana kinim, the koshim dobaracha. Then those kinim reawaken. So the Gemara is not talking about today when a person wore underwear one day and he puts them into the laundry, he has to wait 8 days to wear it again. We're talking about the person that had laundry that was infested with lice, a shirt, a pants, whatever, which had lice in them, and now he sent it to laundry to go and to clean it and hopefully eradicate the lice. What the Gemara is telling us is that the lice very often lay very, very, very small lice eggs, which are not perceptible to the human eye. You have to go and send it to the Bodek laboratories to go and wash it out 12 times and to steam it and to blow it and then to put on a hashkocha, and even then you're not sure. But the bottom line is that you have to go and wash it thoroughly and then wait 8 days to make sure that you don't have new lice which grow out. If you wait 8 days and you see no lice, no, Baruch Hashem, it was well laundered. If you don't wait 8 days, they might come back again, and therefore that's the problem. Amar Papa, Beisad Isbe Shunra Leinel Ba Inish B'loy Masani. If you go into a house where the house has a cat, person shouldn't go into that house without shoes. What's the reason? Shun the Shunra Kotel Chivya, because cats eat chivya. Chivya are snakes. The ochalene eats it up. Kotel chivya, he kills the snake. The ochalene eats it. The isbe bechivya garmiktini. Now when the cat eats the snake, he eats everything except for the bones. And he leaves the bones over, and make no bones about it. Because these bones, he leaves it on the floor. He doesn't, most cats are not the type that sweep it up and put it into the garbage, but they leave it on the floor. Now this fellow is going to walk around without shoes or slippers. The Yosef Lagarma, the Chibi Be'akare, if he walks on it and now gets these bones into his sole or the heel of his foot, Lainofik, after that it'll be very difficult to extract. For instance, there might even be some poison in those bones. Therefore, stay away. Make sure you wear your shoes. Ikriyami, but there was another version. Based on the last Bishunra, a house that doesn't have a cat, Inish Behavra. A person shouldn't go in when it's dark. On the side it says Behavra instead of Behakra. Why when it's dark? My time. Since it's dark and he hasn't been in this house and there are no cats to go and save you from the snakes, maybe there will be a snake. Still have a sakana from the snake. So regardless, the two versions are, if there is a cat, be careful, and if there's no cat, be careful. Always make sure to wear your shoes, and make sure you go into a house when there's light, not when it's dark. You shouldn't have a problem from a chivy. Okay, something more bite. You know, in Yerushalayim, if you've ever been to Yerushalayim, you know there are many, these alley cats constantly running around. I heard that 30 or 40 or 50 years ago, they exterminated all the cats and got rid of all of them, and within a month, there were rats running around all over from house to house, from street to street. They brought back the cats and they got rid of the rats. So you see, they should do that here perhaps in Manhattan too. We could use a few alley cats because we got plenty of rats here ever since Bloomberg took over. Yeah. Okay, speak to the mayor. Gimel Dvarim Tzimur Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi S. Rebbe. It's l'chori b'slashver because Rebbe was the Rebbe of Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, and therefore others talk a good as Rav, not Rebbe, but Rav. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi told the following three things to Rav. Altas mumba atzmacha, don't make a self-inflicted wound. Now he doesn't mean a physical wound. Ma'hi, what do we mean? L'tev l'chadina b'hadit losa. Don't have a dentoira or a case, a court case, against three people. Why can't you have against three people? What's going to happen is the three are going to split up. One is going to say, I happen to be the plaintiff or the defendant. And the other two are going to say, we're the witnesses. And he's going to lose the court case. So therefore, you're just going to do a self-inflicting wound. You're going to pay for lawyers and you're going to lose the case. So don't waste your time. Don't waste your money. What means? In other words, don't go into a store and you start talking to the storekeeper about a particular item and say, how much does it cost and what's this and blah, 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 and you ask him 1,000 questions. If you don't have the money to buy it, don't do it. Why not? Says Rishbam, because not only is there an Einoah problem, but he's also going to lose money. Why is he going to lose money? Because other people that are, other customers are going to see that he is having a ganza negotiation, a masa matan with the storekeeper on that particular item. Then they're going to say, it looks like Yankel is going to buy it. Let's go on to the next store or to another item because apparently it's no longer for sale.
Lost opportunity.
A lost opportunity. Next. Ishtecha tovla al tzakik lo laila rishayna. If your wife went to toivel, she went to the mikvah, don't live with her the first night. Now that sounds very strange because for keretz is an mitzvah dafka the leil tvila. Sigmar explains. Amarav benidu de araisa hoil behochzak mayin pesuach tom mishkach ziva shloisha mishkach ziva. What's Sigmar saying? Nowadays, as you know, what was Sigmar say? Who's Rav Zeira? Rav Zeira. What did Rav Zeira say to any meseches nida that our women are kshedus noise? What do they do?
Are they
shomer zayin nikiim? They yeshev shimon even tipes dam kachad. What does that mean? Because min a toira, a woman that's just a nida that had a regular period, she doesn't have to have shimon nikiim. All she has to do is she wait. She has to wait 7 days. 100%. Even if throughout those 7 days she saw every single day blood, it was flowing throughout for 7 days, right? As long as 2 minutes before Shkia Sachama on the 7th day she stops seeing, she does a bedika and it's clean, she got a mikveh that night and she's tahara labala. We are machmir because the women are afraid maybe they're not nidois but maybe they're zavois, and a zava has to wait shibin akim, and so therefore they have to wait another 7 days when it's totally naki. Min haTorah it's not required, but our bnei Yisrael akshayus vatahara took upon themselves this minig, and this should a minig by Klal Yisrael, and you cannot change that minig. Anyway, the point is, this Gemara is talking about apparently before that minig became ingrained or embedded in Klal Yisrael, and so therefore we're talking about a nida d'oraisa. She just finished her 7 days of seeing blood, and she saw blood the whole 7 days. But 5 minutes before Shkia, she stopped seeing. She went to the mikvah. Says the Gemara, don't live with her that night. At least wait 1 day when she's totally clean. They should know for sure that it's a mayim sosum, that she's no longer seeing blood. Otherwise, you have to worry about that. The mine is still open. The mashkach ziva, maybe chas shalom, at the end of the deal, he'll see that he lived with his wife and she was a nida, she was a zova, that she in fact had blood. Don't go out by yourself at night. Don't stand in front of a light when you are not clothed. And don't go into a brand new bathhouse. Maybe it's going to fall in. Now, how did they make the bathhouses in the good old days? So that the bathhouse should be warm. They had two levels. They had the bottom level where you had the hot water that was heating up. On top of that, you had the ground, the floor, where people would stand on that floor, and it wouldn't be a cold floor standing on because they had the heat coming up from down below. However, to feel that heat, of course, those floors were very thin because it's very thick. After all, those of us that don't live on the first floor, that live on the second, third, fourth floor of our apartment buildings, when somebody down below is taking a bath, you don't usually feel the heat in your apartment. If you do, then there's a problem. You have to call the super. The point is that these were very, very thin floors, and that's how you felt the heat from down below. But they're so thin, if it's a brand new merchitz, you're going to walk in the merchitz, you might go and break through the thin floor, and you're going to fall into the hot water down below, and chas shalom, give me a sakana. So ad kama, how long is it considered to be chodosh that you have to be nervous? If after 12 months nobody, Baruch Hashem, fell through the floor, then you can assume it's time tested and you can go and use that merchitz, no problem. He could become epileptic. There's a lotion of epilepsy. If one's mishamish mita and there's a light open, chas v'sholem, the children could be also fall into epilepsy. Shkaya. Person who sleeps on a mita where, not he sleeps, he's mishamish mita on a mita where there is a tinnik who is sleeping. We're not talking about in the same room. We're talking about on the same mita. Shetinik yoshan ala. Or he's a thing, chas v'sholem, that child can become epileptic and get epilepsy. That's tafk if he's not a year old. Have a bar shata. Once he's a year old, less than but you don't have to worry about this epilepsy. Only if the child is lying on the feet of the bed. the foot of the bed. I've got a Hari Reishi, if it's at the head of the bed, less than but then this problem is not an issue. That's Davke if Bishas the Bia, the man is not putting his hand on the child. If he puts his hand on, less than but then you don't have to worry about it. Now, all of this doesn't sound like it's physical, it sounds like more it's spiritual, but the Maisa, this is brought in Shulchan Aruch, that you have to be careful about such things, not to have a child on the bed, but in Echanami, it's like a difference between the foot of the bed and the head of the bed. Why, where, as we state in Chazal, we don't really understand it.
So it's okay to have a kid in the room?
Chachali, you shouldn't have that either. Says you have, Chachali shouldn't have any children in the room. And if there is, you should have a mitzah, a mechitza in between. Here we're talking about, besides the inyan of the tzniyos and the mechitza, here we're talking about chas v'shalom, a potential of epilepsy, which of course is even a greater concern in terms of the physical. Al teitz yechidi b'layla. Don't go out at night by yourself. The sign said in the Braisa, yetz yechidi b'layla, loy b'layla reviyos, for loy b'layla shabusos. In particular, be careful on Tuesday nights and on Friday nights. Neish igres basmachlasi, she's in charge that night. She's a famous shida. Ushmoina esrei ribo shemalach chabala yoytzin. V'chol echad v'echad yesh lo reshus t'chal b'fnei atzmai.
Is this the same woman we had in Amarala?
Yeah, the same. The Gemara didn't quote her name. The Gemara didn't quote her name, but the Gemara did talk about the female Shadim. But we did have her 2 days ago. The Gemara said in one of the incantations, the Gemara used the expression, if you go back to Kuf Yud Aleph, Amud Aleph, about 12 lines from the bottom, that it says that if a person is walking between two women, he wasn't able to avoid it, he should say after that, 12 lines from the bottom, Igris, Uzlis, Asya, Blusya, Miskatla, Bechayim, Kabel. That was one of these lachashes. And the first word, Igris, this is the same Igris that we're talking about. Not a nice lady. So, and not only was she a Shida, but also she was Oisik in Kishif. So, stay away from her. So a person should not be walking Yechidi at night, on Tuesday nights, on Friday nights. The reason why is because Igris Machlas is in charge those nights. Every one of these, these are 18 times 10,000. These are 180,000 malachi chabala. All of them chas v'shalom reshus to cause hezek. Anyway, so those 2 nights. Now, although this applies to everybody on Tuesday nights and on Friday nights, however, when he was giving, when Rabbi Shuban Levi, who was the one that I was talking to, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, when he's telling you, Rabbi, I'll take yechidim alayli, you shouldn't go any night out b'yechidim, because if you remember, the Gemara said before, Odom Choshev Shaini, that the Mazikim like to start up with the Anoshim Choshevim, so everybody else has to worry those 2 nights a week. You should be worried every night a week. Now, the Gemara tells us that historically, Meikar HaVishchichi Kuli Yayma, initially, the Igris Bas Mochlas with her 180,000 henchmen, they used to be in charge every night, so it was always a problem every single night. Zimnecho, the Pogeb Reb Chanina Ben Toysa. One time, she, Igris Bas Mochlas, came to Reb Chanina Ben Toysa. We all know Reb Chanina Ben Toysa was the Tzadik Hador. It's Omer Leh, so she said to him, Ilav the Michuz and Aloch Berekiah. His Har Reb Chanina Ben Toysa, if it wasn't for the fact that they announced up in Shemaim, Reb Chanina Ben Toysa, the same Shemaim they used to announce, a Baskel used to come out, Kolo Oilam Kule Nizim Mishul Chanina Beni, Vechanina Benei, Dailai Bekav Charuv Me'er Shabbos Ev Shabbos, a famous Gemara Masechus Tanis. Anyway, so Reb Chanina Ben Toysa gave him the Tzadik Adar, so therefore if he didn't tell me, he's Oru, Sakantich, I would have put you in Sakana. It's Omer Los, and now Reb Chanina speaks back to Igris Bas Machlas and says to her, if I'm so chashiv, you should never come and set foot on this yishuv ever. Aros. In other words, not just the 2 nights, but you should never have any shlita at all. She said to him, I beg you, I want some oilam hazeh. Don't banish me from the world forever. So that's how she became in charge of those 2 nights, the Tuesday night and the Friday night. Another time, she said to Abaye, he's Arab ben Nachmeni. That was one of the names that Abaye had because, as you know, Abaye didn't have parents. Rabbi Bar Nachmeni was his stepfather, his adopted father, so he called him Nachmeni after his own father. That's one version. There are different versions why he called Nachmeni. But anyway, that was his name. It's Rabbi Nachmeni, Ubatirosai. If it wasn't for the fact that you are the great Abaya, Havasan Kantich, I would have put you in Sakan. Like he said, like she said to Rabbi Chanina Ben Toysa. Amalei, so Amalah. If that's the case, he wanted to do the same thing that Reb Chanina Ben Toysa did. So we don't say the second part. In other words, Reb Chanina Ben Toysa, what did the Gemara continue on? She said, leave me for a little bit, and he gave her Tuesday nights and Friday nights. Here we don't see that continuation of the dialogue. So apparently his decree worked. and therefore even Tuesday and on Friday night she no longer has shlita. But we see with our own eyes, I don't know if we see it, but unfortunately we find out about people Tuesday nights and Friday nights, and unfortunately they get hezicked because they go out those nights. Apparently she is around after all. After more, Amri Hani Giziyasa Nino, the Sham Di Susiabi also, the Barilo. What is this all about? Says the Gemara, it's Konzain Igris Basmachlas Taka doesn't have any shlita on Tuesday nights because, and Friday nights, because she was banished by a bayit. But the problem is, if you look at the top Rashi, which is the same as the top Rishbam down below, Vitzu Tarashi Oim, Kishimahalchen, the Mavuais, Shvile Krom, the Susayan Mishdam to Mikan, Uborchet Beyishiv, also, well, what are we talking about? Einochanami Abayi was successful at banishing Agras Bas Mochlas and the 180,000 henchmen from the Yishuv, from society. So where did they go? So they now would drezach, they would graze out in the far off fields, in the far off deserts. The problem is, from time to time, they would lose their horses or their chamayim, and they would run away to the Yishuv, so they'd have to run after them. So when they would run after them, they come into the Yishuv now, by accident, by mistake, but once they hear Chas V'Shalom, they cause hezek, and that's why, even though they were banished, from time to time they return.